Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Tomorrow evening, an unusual free performance is coming to Coppin State University in Baltimore. It's called Antigone in Ferguson. Actors Paul Giamatti, Sonia Sohn, and others will perform a staged reading of Sophocles' classic Greek tragedy. After the performance, the audience can discuss how the play speaks to what's taking place in the world today. We'll hear from Paul Giamatti in a few minutes. Right now, Brian Dorries joins us from a studio in New York. Brian Dorries is artistic director of Outside the Wire, which describes itself as a social impact theater company. Welcome to On the Record.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
First, remind us what Antigone is about.
Antigone is an ancient play about what happens when personal conviction and state law clash. And it's about a young woman who wishes to bury her brother, but it's decreed by a new ruler in Thebes that her brother won't be buried. And so she takes on the power structure of Thebes, and she sacrifices herself in order to bury her brother, and she ostensibly takes down the ruler. But in the process, violence ensues. Thebes returns to an unstable state. And it raises all kinds of questions about whether political action requires violence in order to be effective. How do we avert violence when we know it's going to ensue? And all kinds of other questions that seem to transcend time.
When Michael Brown was killed in 2014 at the hands of police in Ferguson, Missouri, did you immediately think of Antigone?
I wish I had. I had a friend in Ferguson who was aware of our work in the Missouri State Prisons, and she attended the church that Michael Brown's memorial took place at and called me and said, listen, I think this community needs a project like your other work, bringing together the community, giving them an opportunity to express their emotions in a constructive, healing way. At the time, I was very intimidated. I'm white. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm an outsider to their community. Everything was so charged at that moment, and it took me about a year to come up with the notion of Antigone. You know, the play is about a body that's left, you know, to rot above the earth, and
right.
It's the desecration of that body that causes, ultimately, the people to leave their homes and go to the streets, both in the ancient and in the modern world. And that mapped perfectly, in some ways, to the play when we premiered it in Ferguson in September. But the other theme that I think is central to what we're trying to accomplish is the central question of what happens when everyone believes they're right, regardless of whether they are. What happens when everyone believes they're right or feels justified in what they're doing, and yet someone is going to get hurt, someone's going to die because of that?
I hear what you're saying, and yet, I mean, the tension between police and communities of color is tied up with broader questions about race relations. How can a classic Greek play speak to that?
Well, we've done two things. One is that this project has been a collaboration with the St. Louis community and now the Baltimore community. We decided that we would set the choruses of Antigone to essentially gospel music, but rather than writing that music ourselves, we hired a local composer named Phil Woodmore, who happens to be the conductor of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Choir in Ferguson, among other gospel choirs. He wrote beautiful, transcendent music that we then integrated into the performance itself. So our choir is composed of police officers' wives from Ferguson and St. Louis, activists, Michael Brown's drama teacher, all kinds of members of the community who've been affected by violence, both in conjunction with police and also in their communities. And also we've partnered with a choir in Baltimore called the One Love Alliance, led by Bruce Henderson. So we bring these two choirs together of disparate voices, sometimes dissonant. And that's the central glue. That's the piece of this that I think is so special. It's not just the play. It's how we've reframed the play and how the communities in which we perform it take ownership of the play.
That's Brian Dorries here on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Brian Dorries is artistic director of the New York-based theater company Outside the Wire. He directs a stage reading of a free production called Antigone in Ferguson tomorrow night at Coppin State University. Your productions are followed by community discussions. How do those work?
So the discussion for us is not an afterthought. It's actually the objective. And in fact, it's the performance itself. Everything we do in our performances, and we now have 18 projects that address social justice and public health issues through this format of live theater and discussion, everything we do is aimed at generating the conditions for a conversation that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And so as soon as the actors are done, and we work with very famous actors like Paul Giamatti and Sonia Sohn and, you know, Frances McDormand and Jake Gyllenhaal. As soon as those actors are done, they immediately go sit in the audience, which signals to the audience it's not a celebrity tour. This is about the community. And then we bring up members of the audience who have skin in the game. In Baltimore, those will include police officers, activists, members of the faith community, and young people who've been affected by violence. And they respond as a kind of Greek chorus from their hearts and their guts to what connected with them across time in the play. They do it extemporaneously. They often do it with very raw emotions. And in some ways, they give permission to the audience to follow their lead of radical honesty. And as soon as they're done, then I go out in the audience and I ask the audience questions. And the questions are about the play, but the questions are designed to give people permission to talk about things that are very difficult to talk about in the present moment. We use the ancient text as a way of creating a safe space to talk about the present moment so that we're not saying to the audience, this is you. We're not saying Creon, the ruler in Antigone, is the commissioner of police. We're saying, what about this 2,500-year-old text resonates with your experiences? And that allows people to make their own connections. And what it results in are these incredibly wide-ranging, very honest, very powerful, emotionally charged discussions in which people on all sides of the equation speak their personal truths. And, you know, of course, our hope is feel heard and validated no matter what they say.
One of the first performances of Antigone and Ferguson, I gather maybe the very first one, was at Michael Brown's high school.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction? What was the response?
It was unbelievable. And we had no idea what was going to happen. And frankly, it was probably the riskiest thing we'd ever done as a company. And we've performed in places like Guantanamo Bay, Cuba for the guards, Fukushima for the survivors of the radiation disaster. Things felt real and they felt tense. There's nothing better in some ways than a church choir to draw a pretty sizable crowd. And so we had a really deep response from the faith community, but we also had students from local colleges, white people from other parts of St. Louis who said admittedly during the performance they'd never come to Ferguson. And we did the performance, and on the panel we had Michael Brown's teacher and also Michael Brown's best friend, or one of his best friends, Raquan. And the conversation was wide-ranging. People got up and delivered sermons. Activists gave screeds. Police officers shared their experiences. And in a recent performance in St. Louis, when we returned, a chaplain who worked for the police offered his thoughts that until we as a nation deal with the mental health issues faced by police officers, we'll never actually address the violence that sometimes erupts inappropriately from police officers, and that there's underlying untreated trauma and isolation for these officers that needs to be addressed, and a sort of humanization on that end. Of course, there's humanization on the other end that desperately needs to be addressed as well. We had a few Black Lives Matter activists at one of the first performances at a local church who got really angry, and even one person who walked out. Not everyone's going to like this format. It doesn't necessarily map to the kind of combative format that I think we're used to right now in America.
What other issues have you taken on as a theater company using classical literature?
So our first project and our most well-known project is called Theater of War, and it's with the U.S. military. And unsurprisingly, it uses ancient Greek war plays to help military communities address the trauma of war, what we now call PTSD or moral injury, suicide. We've been touring that project for 9 years. We've done it more than 375 times for more than 80,000 service members and veterans. We've gone on from that project to work in prison reform with Prometheus Bound, end-of-life care, domestic violence, political violence, gun violence, addiction. All the projects use the same format, mostly readings of ancient texts, and they're my translations. I'm a classicist and a lover of Greek, and so that's where this all started. But then not with the objective of educating the public about Greek drama. Our premise is that the audience that has skin in the game always knows more than we do as the artists.
Is there something about the very antiquity of these texts that is powerful?
Yes. I think, look, if we had one message to deliver to audiences across all of our projects, it's simply this. If you relate to any of the experiences in these plays, you are not alone in your community, as evidenced by these discussions we start but by no means finish. You're not alone across the country because we're constantly touring. We're doing hundreds of performances each year. But most critically, and this is really the core message of just the form of our work, you are not alone across time. And when audiences that have experienced trauma and loss and death and sacrifice and suffering see their own experiences reflected in an ancient story, even though those stories are called tragedies, counterintuitively, they produce a sensation in the audience of relief, and we see it. You can see it in the body language. You can hear it in the things that are said. And what people describe afterwards is a sense of joy, of camaraderie, of connection at having come together as a community to face some of the darkest aspects of our humanity. And so, you know, when people think of tragedy, they think of these dark, you know, lugubrious plays about fate and how we are not the masters of our destiny and we're constantly, as a species, always bringing about our own self-destruction. And in fact, that is what the plays are about. But the larger question we're asking is, what effect does that have on an audience? Our belief is that in the ancient world, Athenians came together not to be sent home pessimistic and fatalistic about their place in the universe, but to bear witness as a community to the struggles of being a human.
The cast tomorrow night includes actors Sonia Sahn, whom we know from The Wire, and Paul Giamatti of Sideways, John Adams, many more. Are they doing just this one performance?
We have a company now that has more than 200 actors, all of that caliber, who, when they get the call, do you want to, you know, fly coach or ride in a van, you know, to Baltimore and stay in a, you know, DoubleTree and get up early and do a Greek tragedy for 1,000 people who may or may not appreciate it and, you know, take the risk. They jump because they believe, like we do, there's nothing more important for us to be trying to do with our craft, trying to move the needle socially. So Paul has done many performances for us. Sonia's new, but we wanted to get at least one actor who was connected to Baltimore in a significant way, and she's lived there, she's in The Wire. And we have, again, over 200 other actors who are all rotating through. It will continue to rotate based on availability and based on who's right for the community. This is the first time we've had a white creon. The casts have been primarily all African-American up until this point. As a director, I admittedly shied away from trying to make this explicitly and directly about race relations. But by making, on the inauguration weekend, on the night of the Women's March in Washington, Antigone, who in some ways is sort of the ultimate ancient prototypical female protester, a woman of color, and having Creon representing the state be white and played by Paul Giamatti, will be charged, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out in the discussion.
And where does the production go next?
So we're currently talking about going to Minneapolis next. We have an invitation from Dallas, and we'll probably be back in New York before too long. This project is still rolling out of the gates, and we premiered it in September. We've done it a few other cities, including New York City. It's now starting to gain momentum with some national press. We felt that the next city after Ferguson should be Baltimore.
Thank you so much for telling us about it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you again for this opportunity.
Brian Dorries is artistic director of Outside the Wire, a theater company that uses theater to address social issues. He's the director of Antigone in Ferguson, which will be staged at Coppin State University tomorrow evening. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We turn now to actor Paul Giamatti, who will perform as Creon in tomorrow night's production. Paul Giamatti, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
I understand that you have worked on numerous Outside the Wire productions. Tell us about one of them.
I guess the first one that leaps to mind is one that we did a reading of a translation and arrangement of the Book of Job that we did at a church in Joplin, Missouri, a year after that town had been pretty much wiped out by an enormous twister. We did that in an enormous megachurch down there, and it was a pretty remarkable event.
What made it remarkable?
Well, everything about these things is remarkable. I mean, every time we walk into one of these situations, I think it's not going to work. You know, we're sitting there and reading these Greek tragedies and reading them at a pretty high level of intensity. And they're hard to take in some ways. And, you know, it's not the everyday fare people usually sit down and get at, for instance, church and in that place. And it's intense stuff to take in, and I never think it's going to go over well, but people always are incredibly open to it and receptive.
These productions are not very
high profile and they're free, so I can't imagine they pay much, if anything. Why do you do it?
Well, the guy who runs the thing, Brian Doors, is a very remarkable guy, and I think he's taking this material that's interesting to actors to begin with, because it's exciting stuff to do, and he's applying it in a way that feels useful. You feel a direct connection to something that's having a direct, immediate effect on people about matters that affect their lives immediately. I mean, it's not like being in a movie or being in a play with a very formal setting. And the way he set it up, it's a real shot in the arm for everybody doing this stuff. And the material is interesting in the first place for actors, but I think it's more that it's the direct application of it is incredibly exciting.
This is your first time performing in Antigone in Ferguson. Do you have any fears about the performance tomorrow?
Just the usual one, that people won't be receptive to it. You know, I don't know what people are going to make of it. A bunch of actors roll in and start yelling and screaming this stuff written thousands of years ago, and who knows if people are going to take to it. But people usually do, so I don't know that I actually have those fears. I don't have them so much anymore, because it always does work.
Are the audience for these sorts of productions less predictable than other audiences?
Well, sure. I mean, first of all, you know, they're getting up and talking right back to you, which is great, and talking to each other. I mean, that just doesn't happen to begin with. Yeah, you're never quite sure what people are going to say or where they're going to go. It's always been useful and always been powerful.
Does the fact that you're performing Antigone in the context of social justice and community engagement change the way you perform it?
Well, yeah, I suppose that context gives you something, maybe not even necessarily consciously, but sure, you're performing for these people for whom it's a vibrant living issue in their lives. So that certainly probably does affect it. I think also Brian structured and translated these things in a very sort of colloquial, direct way. That probably changes it too. I mean, the whole thing is very engaged at a very intense level. And so, yeah, I suppose it does, yeah. Never thought about it. It's just, these things just unfold.
You sound as if every Outside the Wire performance you've done has felt worthwhile, and therefore I would call it successful. I mean, how do you...
Always successful. There's no way it can go wrong, really. I mean, it's a really powerful thing. It's a wonderful way to give something to people that hopefully is useful for them. And it's incredibly rewarding as an actor, too. And they're an intense experience. And it can't really go wrong, in a way. Something's going to happen. And even if people got pissed off and got up and walked out because they didn't like it, that would be good.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. I hope you have a wonderful trip to Baltimore.
Okay.
Thank you for talking to us about it.
Yeah, okay.
Paul Giamatti will perform as Creon in a stage reading of Antigone in Ferguson tomorrow night at Coppin State University, 7:30 p.m. All the tickets for this free production have been claimed, but rush tickets will be available a half hour before the show. We're told that if you show up, you are likely to get a seat. We have a link to details on the On the Record page at WIPR.org. This is On the Record. Quick break now, and when we come back, a Stoop story.